Life's full of decisions, big decisions and small decisions. We make all sorts of decisions dozens of times every day, from the insignificant to the life-changing. But there's one decision that each one of us has to make at some point in our lives. Will I live my life for Jesus, or will I live my life for me? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Well, today is crunch time. Who are you going to live your life for? Who are you living your life for? And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be sharing something truly special with you to help you live your life in victory on those days when the daily grind of life just seems to be, grinding away at you more than it should be. Life is an incredibly precious thing. Your life is an incredibly precious thing. Think about it. You were born out of your mother's womb. Your parents loved you. They raised you. You became a teenager and then an adult with a mind, with passions for certain things, with gifts and abilities and, some wrinkles and bumps as well. And while you were still back there in your mother's womb, God made you who you are today. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18. For it was you who formed my inward parts. God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Absolutely incredible. Handcrafted by the living God to be who you are today and to do the things that he planned for you to do. That's right, because in his book were written all the days of your life before any of them as yet existed. He had a plan ready to go before you were born, and he made you to be a perfect fit to his plan for your life. Unbelievable. See, that rocks me to the core every time I read it. But at the same point, you and I have become responsible for our own lives. At some point, we have the wisdom and the maturity to make our own choices. Remember back when I finished high school, it was a time when I believed in Jesus. I decided I wanted to become a minister. Well, you know what happens at that point. All the altruism evaporates and you go and get yourself a career and you find yourself on the treadmill of wealth and materialism. It's just what happens to most of us at that age, and it's what happened to me. Over the next 20 or so years, I lived my life for me. It was all about me, what I could get for me. As you may have heard me say in the past, it didn't satisfy me. But there you have it. That's what I chose until I came crashing down. And God brought me to a decision point again. Who was I going to live my life for? Me or him? That's the question that each one of us needs to answer. So let me ask it of you here and now. Who are you actually living your life for? For yourself or for God? Come on, be honest with yourself. Look at the priorities in your life. What do you give the greatest weight to? What do you expend the greatest energy for? How are you living your life? And for whom are you living your life? When we take a good hard look in the mirror at ourselves in that way, sometimes it's a bit of a shock to see who's looking back at us. We think we may have been living our lives for Jesus, but when we forensically examine the facts, when we consider what we're spending our energies on, what we're sacrificing for, where our money's going, well, those facts often tell a different story. So today, I just want to bring you back to this question of who or what you're living your life for. Today, I just want to pause for us to take a breath and to answer that question honestly for ourselves. Because who knows? This may be your last day. This may be my last day on this earth. I don't mean to be alarmist, but that's a distinct possibility. When the clock strikes midnight, it could be that your heart or mine is no longer beating. Just quietly, have a listen to this little parable that Jesus told. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. the land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, for this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is for those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. Come on, isn't that all too often how we're living our lives? Focused on the here and now, working away as though owning our own home and having a healthy retirement fund are the most important things on this earth, isn't it? It's so easy to say, I'm living my life for Jesus, when all along the truth is that we're living our lives for ourselves. Rather selfishly too, I might add. If you were arrested and put on trial for being a Christian, you have to ask yourself whether the prosecution would be able to find enough evidence to convict you. Well, would they? I know this is difficult. I know that these questions may be making you squirm. I get that. But isn't it better for us to be asking them now while we're sitting here with enough time to do something about it? How much energy have you put into God's work in the last 24 hours? I don't mean labouring away at a full-time ministry job, not necessarily. I'm talking about living your life, the simple, ordinary things that you do every day for Jesus. Loving others, being kind to strangers, having a melody in your heart for Jesus. When Jesus was asked, what was the most important thing in life? This is how he answered, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It seems to me to be all too easy to live our lives for ourselves and ignore God and other people. So whether sometime in the past you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and perhaps you've just drifted back to a materialistic priority set like everyone else, or whether you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour, I want to give you the opportunity right now to pray a prayer with me to give your life, lock, stock and barrel, over to God. Are you ready? Father God, I know that I'm not in the right place. As I've been listening today, I've just come to this deep realization in my heart that other things have crowded you out of my life, that I have a wrong set of priorities. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. I am so sorry. Today and from this day on, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I know that I've done so many things wrong, so many things against you, and the only way to come back to you is through Jesus, through what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I know I want to live the rest of my life for you, in your power, for your glory. And to do that, I want Jesus not just to be my Savior, but to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the number one priority in my life so that I can love others as you have loved me. I give my life to you, all that I am, all that I have, every hope, every dream, I give to you. Please take me just as I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow, if you've just prayed that prayer with me, God has heard you, God has forgiven you, God has accepted you through Jesus, and he has given you a new start, a fresh start in life. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past, your slate is wiped clean. You are a completely new creation, and your life will never be the same again. If you didn't pray that prayer with me, and you know that you don't have your priorities right, hey, don't leave it until tomorrow. Go to him today, get in a right place with him, and may you enjoy your relationship with God through Jesus Christ from here to eternity. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. I remember the day that I gave my life to Jesus as though it was yesterday. It sits in my memory as clear as a bell. It was around 11:20 a.m. on Sunday, the 15th of October, 1995. My life in the months and the weeks leading up to that day was just awful. I mean, to this day, that time ranks as absolutely the worst time of my life. A few months earlier, I'd come close to taking my own life. I was depressed. My world was falling apart. My future was uncertain. It was just horrible. I was absolutely at rock bottom. And what made that all the more difficult for me was that I was someone who had always succeeded at everything that I'd ever turned my hand to. If you'd asked people about me back then, they'd have told you that I was a tough, brutal so-and-so, but that my drive and my determination meant that I was also very successful at what I did. Success, as it turned out for me, was a lonely, empty place. It was that loneliness, that emptiness, that drove me to the edge. So, life was awful. But these friends of mine opened their hearts and their home to me. They loved me when I was difficult to love. They stood by me, and on that day, on that Sunday, they invited me to go to church with them. I remember the day. It was bright and sunny, but cool. I had sweaty palms walking up the hill to that church building. The pastor, a bloke by the name of Ted Keating, preached a message that day with the title, God is Calling You. Sounds a bit corny now, but it had a powerful impact on me. His main text was Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abraham. And after the service, I walked outside while all you Christians were having your cups of tea and coffee and chatting with the little other groups of people that you have in your church. And I sat down under a big gum tree and I gave my life to Jesus. Later on that day, these friends of mine were driving me to the airport, as I recall. And despite all the dreadful things that were going on in my life, I was filled with the most incredible joy. I was like a balloon filled with helium bouncing around the back of their car. Now, maybe you've had a similar experience. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've believed in him for as long as you can remember. We all have different journeys, different paths. But at some point, giving your life to Christ is the single most powerful thing that you can do. But the problem is, there always seems to be a but, doesn't there? That many of the people who ultimately take that step of accepting Jesus as their Savior don't take the next step. You see, that step that I just told you about, how it happened in my life, was only the first step. It's a step over the threshold into a new life, a rich life, an abundant life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's about putting your trust in Jesus. But do you notice what it says that you and I are called to confess with our lips? That Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all, including the Lord of our lives, your life, my life. And if Jesus has truly become the Lord of your life, then his will becomes the overriding factor, the overriding measure, the overriding decision factor in your life. The problem is, people want to accept Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. Jesus knew that, which is why he also said, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, he said, "Not everybody who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. For on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers." You see, that's about self-deception. You and I, we're masters of self-deception. We kid ourselves that we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, and then we go off and live however we want. We toddle off and we live our lives with gay abandon, spending money on ourselves hand over fist, cocooning ourselves in luxury, ignoring what the Word of God says about this and that, and helping the poor and loving our enemies and all that stuff. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Check. Tick in the box. I'm into heaven. I have the gift of eternal life. Well, no. Not according to Jesus, because unless our lives reflect through our thoughts and our words and our deeds that Jesus truly is the Lord of our lives, then we're absolutely kidding ourselves. We're in for a rude shock on that day when we stand before God in judgment. Let me ask you a question. Imagine a man is married to a woman, their husband and wife. But then that man goes out and dates other women, sleeps with other women. He doesn't care for his wife. He's not loyal and faithful to his wife. What do his actions say about the genuineness and the reality of their marriage? Well, clearly, they're married legally on paper. But if you put the reality, the genuineness of that marriage to the test in a court of law, a court that's intent on examining the facts, the evidence, that court would have to find that that marriage isn't real. It's exactly the same with our relationship with Jesus. It has to be real. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And once you've taken that first step of believing in him and accepting him as your Savior, the second step is living out the rest of your life with him as your Lord. The second step is laying down your life for him rather than continuing to live the way you'd always lived. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Then he said to them all, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but they lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Can I ask you, how are you living your life? Are you busy saving your own life, looking after numero uno, feathering your own nest? Is that how you're living? Because if it is, then the evidence suggests that your relationship with Jesus is not genuine. And to the extent that you're ashamed to stand for Jesus in this sinful, hurting world, to the same extent, Jesus will be ashamed of you on that judgment day that we will all face one day. Or are you sacrificing each and every day the things that were once dear to you in order to follow wherever Jesus leads you? If that's the case, then though you may stumble and falter along the way, Jesus won't be ashamed of you on that judgment day. People don't like it when I talk about these things. I've had people say to me, "Bernie, I'm saved by grace through faith. It doesn't matter what I do. I'll still go to heaven." Well, the first part of that's true. We are saved by grace through faith. Absolutely, that's true. Nothing you or I can do can work us into God's favor. Only faith in Jesus can wipe our slate clean. Nothing else. But the second part, when you listen to what Jesus has to say, well, it's not true, because you will know a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. The fruit is the evidence of what's going on inside that tree. And the only way that I know of turning bad into good is having a relationship with Jesus, a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Because when we have that, the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us from the inside out and takes the bad things and turns them into good. Good fruit is something that the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us. So let me ask you, have you taken the second step? Are you living your life with Jesus as your Lord? Or are you going to be one of those many who gets a rude surprise on Judgment Day? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Yep, life can be tough. Temptations come at us from every direction. Obstacles block our path. So if you truly want to live your life for Jesus, what you need is power, real power, supernatural power. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our special edition book, Power Unlimited. Because if you believe in Jesus, then the truth is that you already have all the power you need to overcome temptation and sin and to shine the light of Christ into this dark world. Friend, God's word is alive and active. Amen. So I'm praying that he'll help you experience firsthand the unlimited power of God to transform your life through this book. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular book will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, let's head back into God's Word. It's so easy to get distracted from our main calling. It's so easy to miss the point that Jesus is Lord and that he has some important things for us to do, because there are so many other things that draw us off course. Let me tell you, it happens to all of us at some point. If I spent all my time racing around after other people here at the work and the Ministry of Christianity Works, I'd never find the time to prepare these messages. And when you think about it, in our ministry, this one thing is pretty much the most important thing. Without me doing that, there is no ministry. There is no impact on the lives of people. It just ain't going to happen. So with a million and one things that I have going on at work and at home, I've decided that after spending time with the Lord each morning, this one thing is the most important thing in the ministry. There are days and weeks where, frankly, I lose sight of that because of all the other things going on. But pretty much each week, as I plan my week, I diarize the chunks of time that I need to prepare these messages. I block out that time, and it has to be something really big to get me to move it. It's normally really early in the morning. I mean, I was up at 3:15 in the morning as I prepared today's message, a time when the phone doesn't ring, time when people don't interrupt me. First, I spent some time praying and reading God's word. Then it was straight into this one thing. Bottom line for me, and I suspect for you, that unless we decide on our priorities, unless we deliberately set aside the time to make them happen, then the important things, I mean the truly important things in our lives, simply are never going to happen, ever, because there will always be some other thing, something that pretends to be far more urgent to crowd out the really important things in our lives. So what are the important things in your life? What are you missing out on? Because our main priority, if we love Jesus, if we believe in him, is this. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know, perhaps God is calling you into something big. Maybe he's calling you into something small. It doesn't matter which it is. We all have our part to play in God's plans and purposes. I remember when I started back in Bible college, it seemed such a small thing for me to be called to this humble, underfunded Bible college that has premises in an old truck warehouse. In a crummy little library, not a big, impressive library like the denominational college down the road. Lecture after lecture, often late at night following a hard day's work, and I have to tell you, I'm not a night person. Assignment after assignment, tutorials, exams, finish one unit, get on to the next. It was so plain. It was so ordinary. But then one day, the former head of Christianity Works came to teach a half unit in media. One thing led to another. And here I am with you and millions of other people who will listen to this program, this message today, in over 160 countries. Go figure. How did that happen? God only knows. And I think back to that first step of applying to attend that little Bible college, that brochure that I had for weeks lying on my coffee table in my lounge room. And I think of the complete tragedy it would have been if I just left it there, lying there, because I was too busy, because I had other things to do, and not following the call of God on my heart. And I know that as you look at your situation and your circumstances, some things look plain and ordinary. It's so easy to imagine that God doesn't have a plan, but listen to me, he does. And he's calling you to a life of significance. A life that's going to impact other people for His glory. A life that, who knows, a life that perhaps He's created just for a time such as this. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Don't waste your life. Passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word, and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.